From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Morning, Mike.
What do you make of it?
Well, that was an unexpected twist of the week yesterday, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
in the middle of a global trade turmoil, which could have global economic ramifications, the Reserve Bank of New Zealand Governor announced his retirement yesterday, as you've been talking about. I would say, Mike, quite unusual for financial markets to be blindsided like this. I mention often that the fact that financial markets crave certainty, and there's plenty of uncertainty around at the moment, so this is not an ideal event from that perspective. Is it fair to say there's a dearth of sort of commentary or comment Correct. From the institution itself around No. this? I think that's fair. Mike, I would say we can only speculate on the actual motivation behind what is quite a sudden departure, and I think the only person that can shed the brightest light on that is the governor, or soon to be ex-governor himself. So I think you would need to speak to him to find that out. We do know that there are current negotiations on that five-year funding that the Reserve Bank gets from the government. In the statement that was put out yesterday, there was the comment that there is much work to do on major multi-year strategies the RBNZ is following, and the ongoing focus and funding will be critical to these projects' success. So you can read into that what you will. We know the RBNZ is quite a bit bigger and has become a lot bigger under Governor Orr, and you can't see why the Reserve Bank of New Zealand would be immune from the government focus on spending restraint, could you? Let's talk about the implications for financial markets. In a perfect world, the succession issue, I think, would be managed quite differently without this sort of abrupt change. Governor Orr has obviously been a pretty central and influential figure. I've been doing this since the late 80s, Mike, and I would say that the Governor Orr is probably the most polarizing character, I think, that they've had, and he does have strong views. But look, he is part of a team environment, Mike. So the Monetary Policy Committee is a committee, albeit we don't know, unless you sit in that committee, how much influence Governor Orr had. I would make the comment that Deputy Governor Christian Hawkesby is a key part of that monetary policy, those monetary policy conversations. Hawkesby has experienced, he's eminently sensible. I assume there will be continuity of thinking. The market will have to get comfortable with that, and that the previously assumed OCR track is still relevant. There's no reason, Mike, to believe that won't be the case. No real market reaction on the day. Let's remember always, I think, that the role should be, and that's the key point, should be independent of the government. We look forward to the new appointment, though, really.
Yeah, exactly. And they tend to go outside in as opposed to inside. And
thought that would be the case this time.
Yeah, exactly.
Now,
we've got a little bit of life in Australia as they wait for the big cyclone. Of course, it's an okay number, certainly better than anything we produced.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, governors of the Reserve Bank aside, the wheels of commerce and business keep turning. We look forward to the release of our fourth quarter GDP on the 20th of March. Yesterday, Australia released their fourth quarter GDP, printed 0.6% for the quarter, following a 0.3 gain in the third quarter. That result was in line with market expectations. On a per capita basis, because we like looking at that as well, 0.1% gain, so actually in the positive territory. That's the first per capita quarterly increase since the final quarter of 2022. Annual growth sitting at 1.3. The lucky country has become accustomed to sort of consistently positive levels of growth. So there was much consternation, if you remember, at that 0.3 print, because it was quite close to zero.
Mm-hmm.
So they've bounced back. Contributions to growth are broad-based. Public spending, household consumption, net exports, they all added up to that 0.6% outcome. You can see evidence of recovery in the consumer sector. And one of the key differences, Mike, between the two economies at the moment is government and public spending in Australia is sort of high and rising, whereas the opposite is the case here.
Okay, what are the numbers?
Yeah, so right, we have US markets have been bouncing around the last few minutes. They've sort of gone back into positive territory. Well, not all of them. The Dow Jones is up 137 points, 0.3%, 42,658. The S&P 500 down 5 points, 5772. And the NASDAQ has just ticked up into positive territory, up 28 points, 0.15%. 18,312. Overnight, the FTSE 100 lost 3 points. The Nikkei was up 87. That's about 0.25%, 37,418. Shanghai Composite, 3,342. It was up just over 0.5%. The Aussies yesterday lost 0.69%, 8141. The NZX 50 lost 58 points, 0.46%, 12,412. And now, currencies, Kiwi dollar quite a bit stronger overnight. US dollar has weakened off 0.5705 against the US, 0.9044 Aussie, 0.5296 euro, 0.4435 against the pound, 84.85 Japanese yen. Gold is still hanging in there, $2,926. But the big story overnight, Mike, oil. You know, we spoke yesterday. Mm-hmm. I said it's sitting on support levels. Well, it's just crashed straight through those. Good. So Brent crude at the moment, $68.43.
Yes.
So clearly concerns about growth around the world, and particularly US growth, feeding into that oil price.
You know, in the commentary, you'll be up to that. They're talking stagflation in America.
Yes, that is a key issue for us to keep an eye on. A bit of data overnight actually leans against that. Some services data that came in a bit better than expected. But that is a moving feast.
All right, and that's why we have you on the big money, my friend, Andrew Keller, jmiwealth.co.nz.